It always seems like trouble comes in waves, doesn't it? We always say that things happen in threes. We have a whole lot of nothing, followed by a rush of trouble. Well, honestly, we see the same thing happening in the book of Acts. Because after the death of Stephen, there, of course, was the great persecution that went on for a while, but it came to an end. And then for a while, it seemed that there was peace in the church. But now Luke tells us that trouble has come back again in a new round of persecution. But this trouble is no accident. God has permitted this to happen not only for the good of his people, but also to teach us how to face our own troubles, so that we learn how to endure even in the face of difficult times. Luke tells us that King Herod was the one causing all the problems at this time. But this is not Herod the Great, the one that we normally associate with Christmas, the one who tried to kill Jesus. That Herod died a long time ago. Nor is this Herod Antipas, the one who put John the Baptist to death. This is the man by the name of Herod Agrippa, the grandson of Herod the Great and the nephew of Herod Antipas. Now, that's confusing, I know, but we'll call him Agrippa just to keep things clear. And about this Agrippa, we know a lot more about him from outside of the Bible. We know that when his father was killed, when he was a very young child, he went to Rome. And as he grew up there, he became friends with men who would later become some of the Roman emperors. And because of those emperors, Agrippa was made king of the northern part of Judea. And after his uncle, Herod Antipas, was removed from power, well, then he took over his kingdom too. And eventually, Agrippa ruled over all the territory that his grandfather, Herod the Great, had once ruled. So he was a very important king. But unlike his cruel grandfather, Agrippa tried to solidify his power by giving the people what they wanted, to win over their affections by giving them things so that they would support him. And it was a policy that actually worked very well. And we see that happening here in our reading. He is putting members of the church to death in order to please the Jews. James was the first of the apostles also to die. And Herod, seeing that this pleased the Jews, also puts Peter into prison, intending to kill him too, but he's going to wait a bit until the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover is over. He doesn't want to put him to death during the feast. But Christians, creating problems for the church in order to please others is not something that just happened back then. It's something that we see happen all too often in our own days as well. You'll hear of politicians, for example, who will say anything that you want to hear, so you'll vote for them. Maybe they'll say, "I'm a God-fearing Christian. I go to church every Sunday," only for them to turn around and support things that the Bible explicitly condemns. You see this also with businesses, which promote godless things. Commercials that show all kinds of degeneracy on TV, or businesses which change their logos to show that they support whatever evil thing it may be, things that run contrary to God's word. Or even movies that are more focused on saying a message than they are about entertaining you. Now, of course, sometimes they do these things out of conviction. Sometimes they really do want to send some kind of message. But most of the time, they're doing it just to win customers. They'll say or they'll do whatever they think you want to hear or the world wants to hear so that you will buy their things. I mean, just think of it this way. How often do you see in the United States businesses changing their logos, but then not changing their logos in Muslim countries so that they won't offend them? They want to get everyone's business. Or changing their advertisements in China because they don't want to offend them either. All they want is money. And if opposing God's word will get them that money, then that's what they're going to do. Causing problems for God's people out of a sense of greed. And those who speak up against this, those who say it's wrong, well, they suffer for it. They're fined, fired, canceled, slandered, whatever it may be, all because they sought to stand up for the truth of God's word. So what are we supposed to do then? Well, we should not give in, certainly. We see how Peter remained steadfast and didn't try to win Agrippa over, saying whatever he thought the king would want to hear in order to get out of prison. No, Peter remains steadfast, knowing full well that it might cost his life. Even if the world is opposing God just to make money, well, then we should still stand firm against it, doing or saying what is right for the sake of God. But Christians, standing firm is not something that we do only when the pressure is on us. Standing firm also means standing firm with those who are under attack, supporting them, fighting the good fight with them, especially through prayer. Because notice what we hear in verse 5 of our reading. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Peter is the only one in chains. Peter is the only one in prison. But the whole church is engaged in this battle, calling on God to strengthen Peter and even to deliver him from his trouble. Now, Christians, we really should not overlook the importance of prayer here. Peter, in our reading, is delivered because of prayer. I know that the world often mocks prayer. They will say that it's useless or that it's a waste of time. And I know that we as Christians are so often tempted to stop praying or even to not pray at all, thinking that it won't do any good or that there's no point in continuing. But prayer is a mighty thing, Christians. Prayer is a wonderful privilege. Prayer is a mighty weapon from God. Because when we call on God in prayer, we not only have the promise that we're going to be heard because of Jesus Christ, but we also have the promise that we are going to be answered because of Jesus Christ. And God can do all things. When we look to Him who has promised to answer us and trust in Him to act, He can do far more than we can even think or imagine. Because just look at Peter in our reading. He's bound up in prison. And humanly speaking, it seems like it's all over. Because Peter is guarded by multiple soldiers, he's bound on his hands with iron chains, and he's held behind an iron prison door. It seems as if there is no escape. It seems as if all hope is gone. And on top of that, time is running out for Peter, because in the morning, Peter is scheduled to be executed. It really does seem like there's no way out. But the church prays for him, even in the middle of the night. calling on God for his sake. And God answers that prayer by sending an angel to bring Peter out, causing the chains to fall off of his hands, leading him past soldiers so that they don't even see him, and causing the iron door to open all by itself. God set Peter free, even when it seemed totally impossible, because all things are possible with God. God's people trusted in the Lord to take care of Peter and to answer their prayer for him. And God certainly did. But God not only answers prayer, Christians, God also answers prayer in a way far greater than we even expect. Because when Rhoda, the servant girl, told the group that was praying for Peter that he was standing outside the door alive, they didn't believe her. Not because they were faithless, thinking that God couldn't do anything to save him, but because they probably thought that it was God's will to have Peter suffer the same fate as James. I mean, after all, just a few hours more, and it would all be over. So they had likely been praying for him that he would be strong, that he would remain steadfast, that he would be faithful even in the face of death. They asked God to help him, which is certainly a very good prayer. But God answered not just by giving him strength, but by also setting him free. And by delivering Peter, God strengthened the entire church, because they could see in this miracle the greatness of our God who answers prayer, enabling us to remain steadfast through all of our troubles and encouraging us to pray without ceasing. As Peter himself says in verse 17, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Not just to inform them, but to strengthen them too, so that by hearing what God had done for Peter, they would be able to stand in the face of a difficult day. So what does that mean for us then, Christians? When we are faced with new troubles, when some new attack on God's word has come upon us, instead of losing heart and thinking that it's all over, that things will never get better, let us turn instead to prayer, calling on God to strengthen his people who suffer for the sake of his name, and to deliver them according to his gracious will. But above all, we should pray that his name would be glorified, so that our steadfastness in the midst of our suffering would hold him up as holy in the eyes of the world. Because our God is a God who answers prayer, even in ways that we can't see right now. Our God is greater than all things, and Jesus has already overcome the world. So pray without ceasing and trust in God, and he will answer as he has promised to do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, who can do far more than we think or ask, give us the strength to stand firm in the face of trouble and deliver your saints from every trial, because you are Lord over all. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.